A reading from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 16, verse 25. Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings, by the command of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. To the only wise God be glory forever, through Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. The reading is taken from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, who is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. This is the gospel of the Lord.
May I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Max Wigley, who was supposed to be preaching this morning, sends his apologies. He's not well and having a test. We pray for his health and that the test will be negative. So, I had my work cut out for me yesterday. But lovely Kate, very sweetly, said, "Oh, Will, you've got so much to do. Are you sure you don't want me to preach?" And I've never preached on the Annunciation of Christ. And I really enjoyed getting stuck into this passage. I hope you enjoy listening to this talk, even if it's just half as much as I enjoyed writing it, then hopefully you'll get something from it. It's a passage that we should hear with love, praise, and wonder. Luke, in the preceding verses, has told the incredible story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And it isn't surprising that as God's plan since the beginning of creation to redeem his people swings into action, he doesn't send any old angel. It is the angel Gabriel himself. When Gabriel explains to Zechariah what his son is being sent to do, Zechariah can't quite believe it. He replies, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years. And the angel said to him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and you will not speak until the day this happens. I love Zechariah being put in his place. And so we join the story some 6 months later as Elizabeth is heavenly pregnant, her disgrace at being barren taken away, almost as a foreshadowing of our own disgrace being wiped away by Jesus. We may have seen various dramas depicting the nativity story. I remember the recent one on the BBC, was it 3 or 4 years back? Which was so powerful that the screenwriter became a Christian in the process of writing it. Of course, we shouldn't be surprised because when you read the Bible seriously, that can happen. So let us picture Mary, a young teenage girl, some say perhaps 15, engaged to marry Joseph. She will have had no education, probably never left her own village. She would have known nothing other than that of a deeply rural existence. And here she is with an angel, the angel Gabriel, no less, standing in front of her. She is greatly troubled, even with Gabriel's reassuring words. I think she would have been petrified. Any of us would have been. And Gabriel then proclaims the most majestic, strategic, world-changing manifesto and vision there has ever been. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Have you ever been told some news of such magnitude that you can't really take it all on board at the same time? Well, poor Mary hears this incredible proclamation. In one sense, she might have said, wow, that is amazing. Is this the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies? But no, she's just concerned with one very personal snag to this grandiose plan. She's a virgin. I can almost imagine Gabriel saying, oh yeah, I forgot to explain that bit. And then he explains that the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And just to back up this unbelievable news, lest she remain in disbelief, he tells her about Elizabeth being with child. And she replies with some of the most profound and beautiful words recorded in Scripture. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. So what can we learn from these verses? My first point is that of humility. Who would have expected the King of Kings to be born to a lowly girl like Mary, in the back and beyond like Bethlehem, and in a stable to boot? Surely if you were God, and you had this majestic plan for the salvation of all humanity, you would choose a palace for the birth, a noble woman as the mother, in some important city. But no, the first advent of the Messiah was the advent of humiliation. The humiliation was to begin even from the time of his conception and birth. So let us beware of despising poverty in others and of being ashamed of it if it befalls us. The conditions surrounding his life that Jesus voluntarily chose should be regarded with a holy reverence. I watched a BBC clip on a church which is doing the most amazing work up in Burnley. I cannot recommend you spending 11 minutes of your life watching that more highly. It is doing incredible things serving the poor in its community. And I know we have problems here in Buckingham, but they are not even a fraction of the problems in this particular community. I actually wept as I watched it, and I watched the two priests who are doing so much and working so hard, weeping. How often do we bow down before the rich and the famous? Our idolatry of money and power, self-evident. But here we have the poor being lifted up. As Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. The second thing we should notice is the high regard in which Mary is held. Look at what Gabriel says to Mary, "You have found favor with God." And he says, "The Lord is with her." The fact is, no other woman has ever been or ever will be so highly honored as the mother of Christ. Only one woman in all the billions of women that have ever lived and will live will be counted worthy to be the mother of Christ. And the Virgin Mary had that privilege. By one woman, sin and death were brought into the world at the beginning, but by the childbearing of one woman, life and immortality were brought to life when Christ was born. As a Reformed Protestant, I have to say that the Virgin Mary is not necessarily high up on my go-to person when I pray. And of course, there's nothing here in Scripture that encourages us to worship worship Mary. But we are doing ourselves a great disservice if we fail to understand how incredible this woman was. It's not surprising Mary found favor with God. No wonder Elizabeth exclaims, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her." My third point is to dwell on these poignant words that Mary speaks. "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." It's so easy just to read them as we read through this passage and just to move on to the next bit of the story. But she has just been told that she's going to become pregnant by a means other than through her betrothed. She understands, therefore, that it will appear to all and sundry that she has had casual sex. Sex outside marriage, a crime for which potentially she might even get stoned to death. At this moment, she probably understands that Joseph will divorce her and leave her as a single mother, a position of great weakness. She understands that by the standards of the world, she will be judged, that she will move from being the toast of her family, delighted and celebrating her forthcoming marriage, to a social outcast that brings shame on her family. Yet this young woman says, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." She is amazing. Despite all the negative consequences, she acknowledges that she is the Lord's servant. And a servant will do anything to please their master, even if it means bringing dishonor to her and her family. She's prepared to do that because she serves the Lord. And just to emphasize her obedience, she then adds, "May your word to me be fulfilled." And little did she know that her obedience would include having to watch her son being crucified. So let us ponder these things. Let us never despise poverty or the poor or the downtrodden, remembering how Jesus chose to enter the world as one of the lowest. Let us remember how blessed Mary is among women and marvel at her obedience and willingness to do the will of God, whatever the cost, whatever it takes. May that be a lesson in obedience to each and every one of us. And as we head towards this uncertain Christmas, when I know many of you will be struggling with the new restrictions, desperately upset, not seeing family and friends, let us once again marvel at this incredible event. Let us cling to the fact that no word of God will ever fail, because God is sovereign. I know it's hard to understand as we move into Tier 4 that God is sovereign over this mess, but he is. And we may not know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the Virgin Mary. We thank you for her obedience, for her willingness to serve. Thank you for the role she has and sets before us to follow. May we have her obedience, Lord. May we be prepared to do anything and anything it takes to follow you, Lord Jesus. Amen.